Harper Audio presents A Life in Questions, written and read by Jeremy Paxman. Here, richly with ridiculous display, the politician's corpse was laid away. While all of his acquaintance sneered and slanged, I wept, for I had longed to see him hanged. Hilaire Belloc. Forward. What do we know of our lives? I'm certain my blood group is A negative because the nurse vaccinating me before some trip to a war zone sent a blood sample off for testing. I noticed that in private we all scrawled our blood group on the back of our helmets in case something awful happened. I know I passed my 11 plus, took two attempts to get good enough marks at my common entrance exam, failed maths and Latin O levels at the first attempt, got pretty average A levels, won an exhibition to Cambridge and got a 2-1 in my final exams. The mere facts which categorise you aren't interesting. If only one could tell children that once you've finished your exams, no one cares about how you did or even asks to see your certificates. Instead, we expect them to play the game we played. When the time came for me to start work, I applied for the obvious jobs, but without much enthusiasm. I was then astonishingly lucky. One of the irritating characteristics of life is that it can only be understood looking backwards, yet you have to live it looking forwards. Though it didn't really seem like that at the time, I now see that there was only one occupation suitable for someone who, like me, was driven by curiosity and loved words. For over 40 years, I've followed the same trade, whether in radio, television, newspapers, or books. As my own shelves show, the world has a surplus of books. Why perpetrate another? I've no great prescription to dispense, but it's been fun, and along the way I've met some interesting people and heard some terrific stories, which I might as well share before I forget them. I have no scores to settle, no unfinished business. I just did things that seemed interesting at the time. A collection of memoirs offers the chance to try to set the record straighter than it might otherwise be, and to laugh at the silliness of so much of life. The other day I was rootling through some boxes in the bottom of a cupboard. Whatever the reasons for keeping the stuff I found inside, the hours devoted to an essay, the brief moment of insight which seemed so vital at the time, the transitoriness of television. Earlier in life I wanted to preserve my past. I have now lost that urge. There, among the Panamanian hotel bills, Swiss speeding tickets, defunct fishing permits, libel reader reports, and now unplayable video cassettes, was the evidence that I was once vain enough to subscribe to a cuttings agency which dutifully clipped pieces from newspapers and magazines across the land. I suppose I kept the subscription for a year or two, and it's embarrassing to confess. For a while my head was turned. Even after deciding that the agency was a waste of money, I still occasionally clipped stories from the newspapers in which I'd appeared. From them I learn, among other things, that my weather forecasting colleague on breakfast time was a sex machine, and that a Scottish sports reporter on the same show with a squashed face was tipped as the future of broadcasting. I seem once to have told a celebrity magazine called Best that I find clothes really boring, and soon afterwards a designer called Jeff Banks nominated me as one of the worst-dressed men in Britain, saying, "That man should loosen up and get into some soft linen." In 1994, Ruby Wax told Options magazine that she had noticed I had huge genitals, and in March 2008, Marks & Spencer took a full-page ad in The Guardian to proclaim that I was wrong about the drop-in quality of their pants. David Cameron let it be known to some obliging reporter that he detested me. Tony Blair's Health Secretary John Reid accused me of disrespecting him after I described him on air as the government's all-purpose attack dog. The 10 minutes of foul-mouthed abuse which his assistant afterwards heaped on Kate McAndrew, the producer of the day, was not disclosed. And the next day the Daily Mirror quoted a friend in quotes of John Reid calling me a West London wanker. In the following weekend's papers, the novelist Howard Jacobson accused me of coarsening public life.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?